back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is football season around here. It gives me a chance to bring all my friends on the program. We're doing a Maryland Crab Cake Tour, and all the people in Buffalo, they're up there eating their wings. I'm going to have my crab cakes this week on Thursday. We're going to be at the Beaumont. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be giving away some Raven scratch-offs, as well as our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Make sure you're taking care of them. I'll be taking care of the crab cakes. Tell Evan Brown to have that chicken fried lobster waiting for me out there as well. The folks in Buffalo, they don't care what kind of wings they're eating or pizzas eating. They got a good football team right now. Rough week. I thought they had won the Super Bowl against the Titans 2 weeks ago, and lo and behold, went down and wilted a little bit in Miami. We had a similar issue here the previous week. Vic Carucci has covered the Bills up in the beautiful Western New York area in Buffalo after some time out in Cleveland as well. It's always good to have him back on. You can follow him out on Twitter, and of course, follow his work at SiriusXM and anywhere good Bill stuff and good football Hall of Fame conference. I'm not going to ask you if Suggs is a Hall of Famer, Yonda. We'll do that later on. But in the here and now, this is a pretty big football game on Sunday, Vic.
Oh, this is huge. And first of all, thanks for having me on. And it's always a pleasure to chat with you, my friend. We've known each other a long time. But this game, once again, I think the Bills find themselves in a marquee matchup for the second week in a row. And what makes a marquee matchup? You have to have marquee teams, the Bills definitely being one of them. And I would put the Ravens right there in that category. And the marquee matchups start with the marquee quarterbacks. And I think this is as good as it gets in terms of the excitement that both Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen can generate with their style of play, with their abilities that go beyond just the ability to throw the football as well as they both can, but run it and work the field and work the magic that can happen when no play is over until most of the time they say it's over.
Well, Vic, I don't want to take you into the Wayback Machine too much, but you are the elder statesman here. I've been doing this only 3 decades. You've been at it a little longer. This modern quarterback thing, for someone like you studying film and watching trends and where we are, Lamar Jackson's doing something, I don't know, I wouldn't say unfathomable, but certainly maybe in their wildest dreams, he would have thought this about Michael Vick years ago. But there haven't been many quarterbacks that have had these wheels. Steve Grogan a little bit back in the day, or even Tarkenton running around a little bit. But this idea of a hybrid offense, bringing a college sort of offense, and having a quarterback that improves in the way that Lamar Jackson's improved. Because a lot of times the running quarterbacks never improve throwing the football because they don't do it enough to do it. And he has clearly, during these off seasons, gone to school, pocket presence, awareness, touch on the ball, all of that. We're seeing him get better. And from the Ravens' perspective, and certainly from the unsigned Steve Bisciotti perspective as to what this is going to cost, we're seeing something really generational here with Lamar.
I don't think there's any question about that. And I think this is sort of the perfect, you can call it the perfect storm, but the perfect storm in a very good way for the Ravens and especially for Lamar Jackson. That phrase, bet on yourself, and we know that that was pretty much created for the quarterback position in Baltimore with Joe Flacco. But in this sense, it's a different story because Lamar Jackson does transcend, I think, pretty much everything that any quarterback who has played the game up to this point can do. And does. And it's the evolution of the game. I love studying the history of the NFL, as you mentioned, and I've been at this for well beyond 40 years. And I've seen a lot of it, taken a lot of it in, and I love the evolution. I'm not a guy who really, it was better back in the day. No, this is better because it's exciting. Whatever we saw in the past, yeah, I thought that was exciting then, but this takes it to a new level. And what he is able to do as a runner is astounding, but it's because of the passing ability. It's incorporating that. And that's on Lamar for bringing that into his game. It was always his intent to be a complete quarterback. Every quarterback knows you don't get paid if you're not able to do everything the position requires. And that's decision-making, everything that goes with it. And it's evolved with him, just as it has evolved, by the way, with Josh Allen, who came into this league as the guy who wasn't accurate, the guy who came from Wyoming where he was raw and underdeveloped and did his development in the course of his NFL career, his major steps. That's putting in the work. That's being the being willing to take that time and find the help and find the knowledge to make it better, but apply it. Now, you better be gifted. Not everybody can do it. We could say, well, you just have to work at it. No, it's not that simple. You also have to have extraordinary skill, and that's where we get down to a very rare level. There aren't really more. Lamar Jackson, I think, is in a category by himself. I think Josh Allen, in another way, is in a category by himself, the size, athletic, you know, size, speed, athletic ratio. But Lamar also has that going for him in I think in a different way, because he can take it to a yet another level. And I think I've had the discussion right along that Josh Allen went into the year as the odds on favorite to be the MVP. But if we're looking at where we are after a few weeks of this season, it's hard to argue against Lamar Jackson having every bit as much claim to that.
This loss this week, I don't want to say cautionary tale, wake-up call. Obviously, the Ravens had a 3-touchdown lead against the Dolphins and lost. Certainly a different kind of game. But for the Bills to go on the road, see that sort of an opponent. We saw the Patriots the other day. They look relatively pedestrian. I mean, clearly it's Buffalo and Miami in that division. But for Buffalo to get the nose bloodied a little bit early in the season after playing so well on the Monday night – this matchup here, I mean, the Ravens have the Bengals after this and the Giants after that, and the Giants didn't look so good on Monday night. But this is home field advantage. These are the teams, along with Kansas City, maybe a few others out west, that you'd look at and say, this is a January kind of matchup and a preview for that. And we, here in Baltimore, we lost to Mahomes over and over and over again. Lamar lost to Mahomes several years in a row to say, we don't play the Bills that much, but we haven't gotten the better of this. Certainly the playoff game a couple of years ago, this is becoming a little rivalry oriented, would you say?
Oh, for sure. And again, when you're talking about the better teams in the AFC, those rivalries form as years ago between the Patriots and Colts, right? The Brady Manning thing that evolved. And yes,
Baltimore in there. Come on, we're a pretty good rivalry.
Absolutely. But divisional, I'm talking sure. About conference wise, when they're non-divisional teams that elevate to this quote rivalry level. And we've seen it, of course, with Buffalo and Kansas City. That's probably in Buffalo's mind where, you know, the number one target, so to speak, or mountain they've got to climb because they haven't been able to get over it at KC, especially in the postseason. But I think this one is right there in the conversation. Buffalo and Baltimore are certainly evolving, and this game will contribute to that, I think, in one way or another. Now, here's the differences about, you were saying, getting their nose bloodied. I think what took place in Miami was pretty much an anomaly from this sense. Yes, I think Miami's a good team. I take nothing away from the legitimacy of them being the lone unbeaten team with a 3-0 record. But I'm going to add this. That game was not, despite all the conversation beforehand of all the injuries on Buffalo's defense, wiped out the entire starting secondary. Injuries did. Took away their two best, defensive linemen, two starters there. Took away their center. So it added up, but mostly on the defensive side. And the thought was, okay, this is just going to be the attrition of scoring. Like, who's going to just survive a score fest, a shootout? Didn't happen. The Bills defense held up. The backup guys did their job and really kept those two track stars, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, who did so much damage against the Ravens. They kept them in check. Six catches between them. Waddle got one big one toward the end. Most of the 100-plus yards that they combined for, those were Waddle's. So Hill was almost a non-factor. And Tua Tagovailoa was, and of course he leaves the game, that whole, was it a concussion? Was it a back injury thing? But he leaves the game toward the end of the first half, comes back for the entire second half, but he didn't light up this defense either. It was the Bills' offense that was stifled by a defensive scheme. It was a Bills offense that also repeatedly made mistakes, uncharacteristic, including Josh Allen bouncing a 2-yard wide open touchdown throw to Isaiah McKenzie that could have sealed the game there. And then about 17 total points that were just left out there. A drop touchdown pass by Gabe Davis, a drop pick six by Matt Milano, a missed 38-yard field goal by a reliable Tyler Bass. Add that all up, and you have the reasons why Buffalo is a two-point loser instead of a probably more than two-touchdown winner in that game. So I call that an anomaly. Sounds like a lot of excuses, I know. And you lose, you lose. But you still had Josh Allen throwing for 400 yards. Most of that, again, a little deceiving because it wasn't big stretch plays. It was the underneath stuff that Miami was giving. And you had him, you know, running for the additional 47 that he did that led the game. And I think overall, it's the kind of game where Buffalo doesn't walk away feeling bad about itself. Yeah, they're not going to be undefeated. But you know what they're saying? We're still probably the better team than Miami in that division. And in the league, I think, this is the Bills talking to themselves. We're going to probably hold up against anybody.
Vic Carucci is here. You can follow him. He follows all things Buffalo Bills. He covers the Bills up in Buffalo. And, of course, you can find him out on SiriusXM as well as out on the social media places for all things wisdom and the history of the league. We got injuries around here, right? Like, fourth string left tackle, Vic. Fourth string left tackle. The guy never played left tackle in his life anywhere, playing left tackle out in the National Football League for three quarters last week. And they managed to win. They managed to protect Lamar. They managed to double up and put Picard over there and chipping away and doing all the things you need to do in the backfield. And Greg Roman was pretty good. But the Bills have the same issue, right? You talk about backups in the defense. You talk about Micah Hyde. And I guess the Ravens are going to lose Michael Pierce now. They have linebacking issues already. We went through a season with just hellacious injuries here last year, including Lamar Jackson. The Bills and injuries early in the year, some concern about how that goes? Because we certainly have concern here as to who's going to play left tackle the next 13 weeks.
Yeah, definite concern. And it definitely adds up when you look at what injuries mean. It's always a game of attrition, and it's a game of 100% injury, as you know. And I think the one that probably has to be the greatest concern for Buffalo is on the back end, is Micah Hyde, their outstanding safety, who's gone for the year with a neck injury. Scary thing that happened to him in that Tennessee Monday night game. And I that's the one that I think could have the biggest impact on a game like this. Though Jaquan Johnson, who took his place, did a solid job against Tua Tagovailoa. But I think it's going to be a different story facing Lamar Jackson for the entire secondary. And we'll see. They also lost Christian Benford, the rookie who was taking over at corner, and to a hand injury, and I think hand surgery that he's going to have. It's going to keep him out for a while. They've been auditioning corners, and they're going to probably have to sign somebody to fill a spot on the roster there. When you've got those secondary issues and you're coming up against Lamar Jackson this week, against Patrick Mahomes in a couple of weeks, of course, those are the longer term concerns. And is anything else going to mount up on this? Josh Allen, you heard Sean McDermott say yesterday, told reporters, or this was on Monday, told reporters that he had general soreness, whatever that, I think every player has general soreness, but there was a definite question about his hand being injured. He was being checked on the sideline for that on Sunday. So I look at, to your point about injuries, I think it's we know it's across the board. It's a matter of who, and it's also a bigger question of when, right? When you play and when are you the most depleted? When are you getting guys back? Tre'Davious White, got to mention that name, starts the year on injured reserve for the 4 weeks. He will be eligible to come off after this game. They will be welcoming back one of the best corners in the game with open arms, but when will he be cleared? The coaches were careful to say after this Miami game, they're not going to try to rush or pressure him back, but you know, and I know he wants it back in there as quickly as possible. This guy had a devastating knee injury on Thanksgiving night And that's a late season injury to suffer in 2021. So we'll see how that works out.
Vic, what do you make of Lamar's contract situation? And I mean, you followed a lot of this, and obviously the Deshaun Watson situation has changed everything for the way these franchises wanted him, were willing to pay and bid this thing up to guaranteed money. And then it falls into Bishotti's lap to say, hey, are you going to match it or are you not? And, you know, Lamar's got a lot of pressure from the Players Association, right? I mean, he's, when you talk about what it means to battle the owners and to win and to get paid, Lamar's not in any position where he should have to take a discount, but this thing makes it even more unique that he's not represented and that he's out in a position where next year they could franchise and tag him again and do all that. I don't know that that's not, that that's a real option. It sounds like it's an option when the union gets together and they negotiate, but the notion that Lamar is going to go out and play again for $23 million next year, or even $45 million next year, 1 year, this is going to hit ahead, and this is going to affect the industry, I would think, as much as it affects the Ravens salary cap and the amount of money they're going to have to spend on other football players, as we learned here when Joe Flacco took that deal.
Yeah.
But you remember the Flacco deal. You remember, and you even already referenced that, you know, he sort of played unprotected and said, I'm going to bet on myself. Lamar's done that too, but what does that mean in the end?
Yeah, so a lot of layers to this, and it's going to be a fascinating one for the entire a game, the entire league, the entire NFL, maybe sports in general to watch for sure. The sports business element. First of all, the fact that Lamar reps himself is not, in my view, a problem in this equation. It for him, I mean, it's remarkable to think that all that you've got to carry, all the weight of playing the quarterback position, of being a pro athlete, of just the life of a high profile guy, and to take on that duty along with everything else is, as I say, the word is remarkable to me to handle that, because I couldn't see it for myself. And a lot of us struggle with that. But we also think that this is creating a problem in the negotiation. It isn't. His desire to get what he feels is fair for him based on the market wouldn't be any different if he had someone else representing him besides himself, right? It really wouldn't. Because if you're doing the job as a rep, right, and you're going to keep that job representing the athlete, you're following his desires. Your job should be to lay out what's there, or lay out what, you know, what are the possibilities, and then to listen. And he's going to tell you exactly what he wants, and then he'll leave it to you perhaps to do the negotiating. But the fact that he's repping himself doesn't change what he wants out of this. And frankly, I get it. I totally get it. I also get where the Ravens are coming from, where Steve Bisciotti is coming from. He doesn't have to like, in fact, he can hate the fact that one of his fellow club owners, Jimmy Haslam in Cleveland, decides to do the deal that he did with Deshaun Watson. And that just flipped the entire NFL in many ways, or certainly the quarterback position negotiating point. And then you think about, so for this particular conversation, we're talking about Bills and Ravens, Ravens-Bills. Josh Allen got a deal done a couple of years ago to get that extension, right? A year ago summer. That deal, how's that looking if that's not done then and he's going into that now after Deshaun Watson? Whole different conversation. He has a representative. There would have been pursuit of something different in the way of guaranteed money. So it's the market affects everything. It is up to the individual teams to decide whether or not they want to go that route. But how could the Ravens, with arguably the best player in the NFL on their roster right now, be thinking of anything other than keeping the best player, or certainly arguably the best player in the NFL, on their roster? That's pressure on them. I think to their mindset, it's let's kick this can a little bit down the road. Let's see where this all goes. But if they're hoping for the right thing, they're hoping that Lamar Jackson is not only starting against Buffalo Sunday, but starting in the Super Bowl in Arizona in February.
He is Vic Carucci. You can follow him out on the Twitter thing and the social media thing, as well as in SiriusXM. If you're up in the Buffalo area, he's still doing stuff on the television affiliates. And now, all these years into this, and the Buffalo thing still resides with Norwood and failed Super Bowls. And I'll talk to Tasker and other folks about that this week. But this is a real promise, right? Over the last couple of decades, where maybe there hasn't been a whole lot of promise at the beginning of the year, that this could be the year, or last year could have been the year. Speak to our audience here about Western New York and the passion and the pride in the Bills there, because it is a little different than I think some other. I mean, maybe you got to point it to Green Bay or some other places, but when I'm in Buffalo, the Bills are, they're the state college, they're the university. No offense to the Sabres or the Bisons or anybody else, but it is a little bit institutionalized there, as quoted by the Mafia, right?
Look, it's two seasons. It's football and waiting for football in Western New York. And the Bills transcend sports, Nestor. And I people are going to think I'm really overstating this, who aren't here or who haven't been part of this culture, but I'm not. It's a fact that they are not a diversion. They are a religion, and they have been, even in their downtimes. They're the connection, the link that one of the smaller markets in the NFL has to the big time, okay? NFL brand that you have in this, and you can argue, it's easily argued, that this city wouldn't normally, if they're plotting out the NFL now with all that we know this multi-billion dollar industry that is the NFL has become, you wouldn't look at a map and pick this place. But Ralph Wilson did back in 1959, with an American Football League franchise, and we know the rest of the history from that. And by the good graces of ownership that replaced Ralph Wilson, the Pegulas, that their desire to keep this team here and now also work at getting a new stadium for this team, all of that is an incredible thing, I think, for the market size, but for what this fan base also feels. And yes, to your point about Bills Mafia, which didn't exist when I started covering this team back in 1982, that wasn't a term. And through the 90s, Jim Kelly and others who were part of that Super Bowl run will tell you, nobody said that. Somebody came up with it actually in the course of the 17-year playoff drought that this team had, as to maybe identify the passion of fans who hung in there, who have been hanging in there, with a team that wasn't delivering anything to them other than more disappointment. That's changed. Josh Allen changes that. And I think I would attribute it to a lot of the different dynamics of communication, like what we're doing now, social media, all digitally, all the things that allow people to be connected to anything and everything they want 24/7. With that has risen this passion, this love for this team. And there's a new generation of fans, even from beyond the Super Bowl run years.
Well, it's been 30 years, right? I mean, it's the missed kicks, right? I mean, it feels like 5 minutes ago that I was there doing the mighty taco dance with Art Shell, and it's 51-3, and poor Dre Schrader's got to get out. But yeah, that was 33 years ago, right?
Literally. And 33 years ago, and it's not even – it's fair to say, I'm positive that I know it'll sound like I'm prisoner of the moment, but there is nothing that compares, in my view, even that Super Bowl run, to the passion level, the level of, you know, of fandom that exists now. People are just fully crazed and engaged with this football team in ways that I'd not seen before.
Well, they're going through tables. They're bringing wings down here, and the Bills Mafia will be showing up there. I'll tell you one thing, Vic, and this is all due respect. I've been up to Buffalo a bunch. There was always some empty seats up there during the bad times, good times. This weekend, the ticket price is over $200 to get in here, and I've had my tickets rescinded. I've written through all that out on the – go read Baltimore Positive on that. But it's a $200 get in here. I mean, it's as strong a ticket for that I've seen – in a decade, even going back to Ray Lewis, that a regular season 1 o'clock game would have this kind of demand. And it's because of you guys. The Steelers used to do this 25 years ago, you know, come down here, try to take over the stadium. Yeah. But I have a feeling there'll be 20,000 Bills fans in this stadium here this weekend. Probably two of them sitting in my former seats.
Well, I'll say this, in Miami, which has traditionally been a Buffalo takeover place, again, even in the lean times, but they usually saw their team go down there and win. There was a 7-game win streak with an average of 32.1 points per game scored by Buffalo before the Dolphins just snapped it with this this past.
What you're saying is everybody in Buffalo has been to a Dolphin game in Miami at some point.
And they but they take over the stadium. That's the point. It's the Dolphin. You saw the Dolphins got called for delay of game penalties because the crowd, overwhelmed them. Now, I don't see that necessarily happening to the degree it does in Baltimore. I mean, I think there'll be a very strong showing, by the way. And I'll throw this out there, but need to throw this out there. There is a strong Buffalo Baltimore connection through M&T Bank, right? The M&T Bank Buffalo, the M&T Bank headquarters are in Buffalo, but M&T has a very strong presence in Baltimore. And one of my daughters is a VP at M&T. She deals with all the marketing of the football teams, the Bills, the Ravens. So she's telling me they call this the M&T Bowl because it's going to have it's a big deal when these two and the corporate attachment to that factors into some of this too. But you're going to have some fans there. But when you got a football team that's good or has the promise of being good, that's usually when the home crowd hangs on to its tickets and doesn't try to sell them. But everybody I know tries to make a buck.
Well, this is the week to make the buck off y'all. I mean, $200 and a plate of chicken wings is what I'll sell my ticket. I don't have tickets anymore. Vic Carucci joining us here. He covers all things Bills up in Buffalo. And of course, it's Sirius XM. It's a good year for the league, right? I mean, I would just say this. I've been thrown out for the first time in my life, Vic. I am home in my house watching television, watching the games on TV. You don't see the game as well. You do get the replays that you don't get in the stadium sometimes. But watching all of the games and seeing even through Monday night with the Giants and Cowboys, I'm in love with the sport. Always have been from back when the Oilers and they took my Colts away in the Mayflowers for 13 years. But sitting and watching the league's great. I mean, it's 3 weeks in. It's fascinating how 1 week a team, the Indianapolis Colts, are giving up for dead. They're going to go 0-18, and the next thing you know, they win. Right. So there really is a parity involved in this league that the other leagues can only dream about in a, like the Yankees spending $300 million and the Orioles spending $40 million. And you wonder why it doesn't work that way. The NFL, this is where they really thrive in season because the games are good. The games are really good.
Oh yeah. We've seen that. I mean, yes, the entertainment value continues to be, for live television, for a reality show, so to speak, that is football, nothing compares to what the NFL offers as a brand. And I think that's, you're right about that. And why I can speak for myself, why I've stuck around it as long as I have. And even in my so-called semi-retired life, because I covered this game for a long time, for the Buffalo News in two stints there. You mentioned I worked for the Cleveland Browns for a stint, and I also got very familiar with the whole AFC North rivalries and again, spending a lot of time around the Ravens in that context, and before that with NFL.com. So most of my life has been attached to this game, but I've never seen it like trend downward. I've never seen a sense that what I'm doing, you know, boy, this might just get smaller. It doesn't. It continues to get larger. And by the way, there's no denying the gambling attachment that the NFL has made. I mean, it's ironclad connecting itself with gambling. We see it obviously in just about every other, if you can take the number of commercials about it in the course of watching it on TV, that's a test. But it's a presence, and that's only going to grow. And in the stadiums, that connection is going to be larger and bigger. There's a team in Las Vegas, which these are things that for a long time, guy who's done this, and I would say probably for you too, that we couldn't have envisioned because it was always about the separation, even though we knew it was always there in the background, but it was more in that illicit way. Now it's the embraced way. Now it's a part of the whole NFL fully embraced culture. And I think there's no question that that's done plenty to also elevate the interest level.
I would say, what would Pete Rozelle do? He'd count the money is what he would do. Vic Carucci's here. He's at SiriusXM. He's up in Buffalo covering all things Bills. And it's always great to visit with you, my friend. Take care of yourself. Stay healthy, okay?
My pleasure. You too.
We know how important that is. Vic Carucci joining us here. You find him out on Twitter at SiriusXM and anywhere good NFL information is found, as well as the NFL and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, talking Bills and Ravens all week long. Luke's in Owings Mills. I'm at BaltimorePositive.com.